The epistle for this, the third Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceit. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no one, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them. Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted. And Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. But in answer the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and I have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way as thou hast believed, be it done to thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Faith, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is reminding his listeners not to do evil for evil, not to what they prescribed in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We must not try to avenge wrongdoings to us or to anyone, and therefore to refrain our language and our bad intentions to do so. But those who have done us wrong, the best method here, of course, St. Paul tells that too, is to be kind, to be generous. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're hungry, give them some food to eat. They have to come to the conclusion eventually that the persons who they hurt are not really all that bad. In other words, it's like our Lord's parable of the weeds and the wheat, where his angels want to go and gather all the weeds and pull them up and throw them into the fire. But the Lord says, no, let them grow together until the harvest, because we will not know when that hour comes, when one of these will be converted and live. Our best bet to helping those to convert is by our good example, that we try to keep ourselves free from any of these bad thoughts of revenge or vengeance or any other attitude like that. In today's gospel, this is one of the big affairs of faith that can be read in the New Testament. The first one, of course, is the leper. According to Jewish law, the lepers had to stay 6 feet away from any other person. They were not allowed in the towns, and they always had to declare themselves when they're around anybody by saying, unclean, leper, I'm a leper, unclean, whatever, to warn the people. But somehow he had to hear of our Lord. And he was in a very bad state because leprosy was in its last severe form, which means death is imminent. And knowing that he heard the rumors about this Jesus of Nazareth, he went up to him and asked a simple question. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, you can or might or whatever. He said, if you will this. And we all know our Lord's compassion, looking at the man, and he says, I will. Be thou made clean. And with twinkling of light, the leprosy was gone. Leprosy, we know in the spiritual sense, is sin. Usually the growth of leprosy is the venial sins gnawing away at the soul. But here again, if we just humble ourselves, exercise faith, and go to confession and confess what I have done, the same answer goes to you too. I will. Be thou made clean. Same thing through absolution, is it not? What a great blessing to know that our compassionate Lord has that much care for each and every one of us, again and again and again and again. But as our Lord entered the town of Capernaum, now he goes to this town a lot, and this time he's approached by a pagan, a centurion soldier. No doubt he heard of the things of our Lord, and he didn't hesitate in approaching him. And he was only concerned about one thing. He wasn't really asking of anything of himself, was he? He was asking one thing only. I'm worried about my servant. He's ill, paralyzed. He's tormented. Basically, could you do something about it? And look how quick our Lord's response was. I will go with you and I'll go cure him. But the centurion said something a little different. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I too am a soldier and subject to have authority over my subjects. And I say to this soldier, come, and he comes, and he goes, and to my servants, do this, and they do it. I don't need you to come to the house. Just say the word. And our Lord just was marveled by this example. A pagan soldier exercising the faith that the children of the kingdom would not exercise. They all heard what he said. And he keeps warning the children of the kingdom, you're going to be cast out where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not getting this. Our Lord turns his attention, go thy way, thy son is healed. And as we know in the other scripture, he goes home, and on the second day his other servants found him and says, at the seventh hour he was healed. And he knew right then and there, that's when he said it. We must try to the best of our ability to exercise that same type of faith. Lord, if you will it, so be it done. If. We know how well our Lord will always take care of us. He hasn't stopped. We keep being reminded of the admonitions that he warns us, and some of our just really simple words, watch and pray. Can't be that hard. But sometimes we do lose sight, and we lose focus, and we pay too much attention on the material and the materials of the world, which will pass away soon enough, and don't put our attention on what is spiritual. Again, how can I come to God? How can I walk towards God to know him, to love him, and to serve him? That's the whole purpose of our Lord coming down here, was not to teach us and show us how to walk to his Father in patience and charity and offering up our daily duties, be kind to those who we are around, always trying to do our best of our ability to show a good example. And all this does not come from exterior things. It comes interiorly from the heart. And I'm only going to hear this in the silence of my room, with no music, no TV, no nothing. Silence. In the silence of that room, that's where the good Lord talks to us. We hear his voice and good inspirations in the silence of our room while we are either praying or doing our spiritual reading. Which in praying, we always do our part, is that praying, we pray to the good Lord. That's us petitioning our Lord. In the spiritual reading, it's our Lord talking to us. Somewhere in those spiritual reading books, something's going to jump out at you and say, I've got to do something about this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes you might read the whole book and get nothing out of it. It happens. But some book that we pick up in spiritual reading, either Lives of the Saints or Sacred Scripture, the Following of Christ, or more familiar term, Imitation of Christ, something in these books will hit the nail on the head and say, this is what I got to work on. We all want to become saints. We all want to walk towards God in holiness, but we've got to do our part. Again, we can't be interested in what is going on in the world or outside, basically outside the box. That's God's problem, more or less. I have to attain to myself. How well am I approaching the good Lord every day? How much am I obeying the laws that the good Lord has laid down? And the Ten Commandments, the laws of the church and whatnot. How well do I observe these? Everything we do, everything, doesn't matter what it is, how little or how big or in between, remember, it's got to be done for the love of God. Nothing else matters. See, our Lord didn't come down here to have a good time. He had a specific mission. The salvation of souls. That's the specific mission. And if the human race does not want to walk the way I have set out the direction to walk, Whose fault's that? That's why it's so important in these days and times to study. Study your religion. Study the history of your religion. Because it's in that history of our religion is the reason why we are doing the things we are doing today. We're trying to save the faith that the church is supposed to promote. The faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in receiving the sacraments of Jesus Christ. As you know, the modern church doesn't emphasize any of these things. They're too much on brotherly love and communion with other religions. How can that possibly cause peace? Our Lord only found one church, so how can he possibly find peace if we all are the same? Doesn't make sense. And this is why I say study, because see, Pope Gregory the 16th condemned that a long time ago, like in 1832. It's a long time ago. That Christ founded only one church, and that's the only church he listens to. But these are dire times. We are in a crisis, a big one. The crisis of faith. The crisis of losing faith. You sometimes, when you look out in the world and you see what's going on, you kind of wonder, is our Lord doing the same thing he did to the chosen people of the past by withdrawing his grace and letting us just go off doing our own thing? You sometimes wonder. Because the sense of what is sacred is not present anymore. And this is what we're trying to promote, and this is what we're trying to save. And we've got to keep a strong conviction in our hearts. Because you don't have to take my word for it. Actually, I'm too young for that. But you have to take my parents' word and their parents' word. And I keep going back until I get tired of saying that. Because they said, this is the truth. That's that. This is our heritage. Not the stuff that they invented in 1960. And to the present day. This is it. And this is why we're hanging on to it. Because it is our heritage. This is what we call the deposit of faith. So every day, do your best. Say your prayers. Do your daily duties. Keep asking God for all the graces you stand most in need of. And always remember too, very important, always try to make an act of contrition before you go to sleep at night. Very important. Always remind the good Lord that you're sorry for any faults, failings, sins you might have committed that day. Because you never know. If the Lord calls you, at least we have some preparation rather than just have nothing. And after all, it is our intention to stay away from sin, is it not? So we always got to keep this prayer, devotion to that prayer, reminding the good Lord, I am sorry for what? Offending your great love. And I have to amend my life to fix this by avoiding sin and praying for forgiveness. May God bless you, and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.